Okay, so we're Erev Shavuos, Tafshin Pei Gimel, big night. And we're going to learn together a beautiful bard from Rav Shimon Schwab on a pasuk in Megillas Rus. And the pasuk is in Perek Gimel, Psukim Gimel, and Dalet. The pasuk says as follows, Atayimer la Naomi chameisa. So Naomi, the mother-in-law of Rus, says, Biti. I'm looking for a manayach for you, a way to rest, and a way to ultimately be able to be married to Bayaz. So she gave her the following very strange etzah. I want you to bathe. I want you to anoint yourself. Put your finest garments on, the aradata agarin, and I want you to go down to the silo, and it will be when Bayaz goes to sleep. Bayaz used to sleep at night in the silo. Rashi says the reason that he did that was because there were robbers that were coming and stealing grain from the silo, so he wanted to go and protect his grain. And that's where he slept at night during this part of the year. And when he goes to sleep, the adatas hamakim ashiyishkav sham, you should know the place that he will be sleeping there, uvas, and you should come to him, the galis markalaysav, and you should reveal his feet, the shachaft, vuhu yagilucha es asher tas, and you should lie down next to him, and he will instruct you about what to do next. Okay, so just to. For those of you that may not be familiar with Megillas Rus, let's back up a little bit. We have the main characters of the Megillah, which was Naomi, who was the mother-in-law, and she was impoverished. She came back from Stamayav after her husband, who was the wealthiest man at one point, decided to leave during a famine. He didn't want to have to share his wealth with all the poor Jews, so he picked himself up. He went to Stamayav. He ended up dying. His two sons, Machlon and Kilian, died. And the wives that they had married, non-Jewish women, Rus and Arpa, they survived their husbands. And they wanted to originally all go together to Eretz Yisrael. Eventually, only Rus went. Arpa decided to turn around and go back home, back to her palace in Stamayav. They were all royalty, Rus and Arpa. They come together, Naomi and Rus, in Eretz Yisrael, very, very poor. Ultimately, Rus finds herself collecting leket shikha peya matnas aniyim by the field of Bayaz. Bayaz was the gadol hadar, and he takes an interest in her, and he compliments her for all the chesed that she's done, because he was related to the family of Naomi. And then all of a sudden, in order to redeem the field and redeem the neshama of the husband, so basically, Naomi gives Rus this etzah that you should go down to the silo tonight, to the granary, and you should do something that seems very, very strange. And it would be strange if you would do it with a regular Jew, to go all of a sudden into a silo and start, you know, lying down next to another man, that would be bad enough. But this was, Bayaz was a gadol hadar. So I don't want to give you actual examples of like, but you pick your gadol and imagine in a million years if how that would fly if a woman would go and try to sleep next to any gadol. And this was, you know, this is in the time of, of Tanakh. So, hadavar tamua ma'id. Rav Schwab asks the obvious question. This is a very, very strange incident. Eich nostan la etza kazu shi hepech hatznius mamish. How could Naomi was also obviously a tremendous tzanua. Rus was known to be very tzanua. The Megillah speaks about how, through the eyes of Chazal, how she, when she bent down to pick up the grain. She didn't bend over. She squatted on the ground. She didn't want it to be in any way not sanua. So what's going on over here? How does she give an etza that's lahepach minatznius mamish? There's no other way that she could have arranged this relationship to happen. By the way, nothing happened that night, right? He said that we're going to wait and we're gonna take care of everything tomorrow, and ultimately he did. But they did it in a kosher manner. They got married. There was Sheva Brachas. The Makar for Sheva Brachas happens to be learned out from this marriage of Bayez and Rus. It says that Vayikach Asar Anoshim, they took 10 men. We learn that there has to be a minion by Sheva Brach. A lot of halachas are learned from Megillas Rus. But he eventually did it properly, but like this is like a very odd way of doing things. So here's Rav Schwab with his classic Chiddush, and he says as follows: Vule Yesh Leimer, Sheyado Naomi Baruch HaKadosh Sheyatza Melech HaMashiach Meshedach Hazeh Shel Bayez Rus. Naomi had Ruach HaKadosh, and she knew that this was not going to be any ordinary Shidduch. This was a Shidduch that was going to ultimately produce Melech HaMashiach. The Megillah, the last psukim in the Megillah, say exactly the yichus of what happened after Bayez happened to die that night, the night that he got married. He was an old man already. He died the very night that he married Rus. She conceived that night from him, and then she ended up having a son who had David HaMelech. And then from David HaMelech is going to come Mashiach. That's how the Megillah ends, that the Yishai Hailet Es David. So how is it possible for this to happen? So she knew that Baruch HaKadosh, that Melech HaMashiach was going to come out from the Shidduch. The Omnam HaYitzarech Bekan L'Sakein Mikaynim Es HaBegam Shein Nidvak B'Yisai Geza Shal B'nei Peretz. Before this could happen, there was some accounting records that had to be cleared up. There was something on the books that needed to be undone before this Shidduch could be completely consummated. Before Melech HaMashiach could be conceived, there had to be something in a historical wrong that needed to be made right. What was that? V'hu shenoldim imaisim aguna shol bia al hakadesh baderech. Now, Bnei Peretz, the sons of Peretz, were born from a very ugly maisa of Bia between Yehuda and a certain Kadesha on the road, a certain Zaina on the road. She wasn't actually a Zaina, she was actually Yehuda's daughter-in-law by the name of Tamar. So, Shebesha Sheba Yehuda al Tamar, when Yehuda came on Tamar, Ksiv, a very strange pasuk. Yehuda was the tzaddik adar. Yehuda was the melech. And it says that he thought that she was a zayna. So what does that mean? Well, what does that mean? He actually came on what he thought was a zayna. How did that happen? How do you explain that? He knew that it was an ugly thing to come on a zayna. And the raya is that Yehuda didn't bring any money with him. He wasn't actually planning on having an encounter with a zayna, chas v'shalom. He didn't even have money on him. If you're going to go and try to find the zayna, presumably you're going to probably bring some cash with you. He didn't have any money on him. Because they never thought in a million years to do this. V'gam acher kach amar, and what does it say in the pasuk? Peniel lavoyz shayeb bazeh inyan shel bizayin. That's bizayin. This whole mice was an inyan of bizayin. V'gam mashma mimasha amran she'amakim lehoysa bazeh kedesha. The people, the city, they were like doing research. Like, was there a zayna? Did you see a zayna? They said lehoysa was like there was no zayna around. Shayeb davers and nashal v'gam meinian an she'ayir. Why did they? How did they know for sure there was no zayna? Because this was a big, this was a frum town. They don't allow zaynas in Bnei Brak. They don't allow zaynas in Square Town. That doesn't in Monroe. There's no zaynas there, right? So So they knew for a fact, well, there's no Kadesha. They were very vigilant against Zionists. Umashabala Yehuda. But the fact on the ground is that Yehuda did come on her. How did that happen? If Yehuda had no intention, and the people of the city were sure that there was no Zayna because they were never allowed a Zayna. So how did this whole Maisa come to be? The only reason that it could come to be is Mishum Shemalach Hamamuna Al Taiva Ba V'Dachva Aleha Kimavur B'Devrei Chazal. Medrash says, and this is why you can't read Psukim in Chumash Kipshutam. You cannot read Chumash. Anyone that, you know, if you go to a hotel room, wherever, anywhere in the world, you take out you open up the drawer in the hotel room. I don't know if they still have this, but in the olden days, they had a holy Bible. If you open up this holy Bible, and you shouldn't open it up, obviously, because it has the New Testament in it also. So even if you want to be Maver Sedra, it's still Asr to use that, because it has the New Testament in it, which is Mamish Asr to touch. But you open up the Old Testament, you say, like, what are Gaim reading in this thing? Like, how does a guy, like, even open up an Old Testament and understand what it's talking about? Like, all these psukim, you know, jewels between your eyes and sitting in a tent, like a tabernacle, you know, for 8 days, you know, and eating matzah. Like, the whole thing doesn't fly. The whole Old Testament needs a pirush. You need chazal on it. Without Torah Shabbat Peh, the Old Testament is like a book that's beyond cryptic and beyond mysterious. But even we, who are from a Yidden, we also need the Mefarshim. Don't think ever that you could read a Pasuk in Chumash and understand without seeing a Rashi and a Ramban and the Torah Tamima, the Chazal, the Gemaras, the Medrashim, because you look at these Psukim on their face and it seems like, oh, so I get it. Yehuda had an affair with his daughter-in-law, but he thought she was a Zayna, so it wasn't as... You can't read the psukim. It doesn't. They don't read. It doesn't. You know, if you think of Judah as but he was Yehuda. He was Gurar Yehuda. He was one of the sons of Yaakovinu. He was the Melech. This can't happen. And there's so many other stories. If you want to see more on this topic, Ayin Mishnas Rebaron. Rebaron Cutler has one of the volumes we have in the Beis Medrash. I forgot which one. I think it's the one on Chumash. He speaks about, he once spoke, I think, by a Torah Masorah convention, and he says how you cannot take psukim literally, and he actually refutes all of the preconceived notions about the Avos, the Imais, you know, Yaakov's love affair with Rachel, you know, and how, you know, he says it doesn't make sense. If you read he proves that step by step how the whole thing doesn't, it wasn't romance. If he was interested in her, it was not kipshuta, it was like because he saw that he needed to marry Rachel in order to have Klal Yisrael, in order to be Mekim Klal Yisrael, the Shiftei Ka. And he proves it very methodically, as does Rav Schwab over here, taking it apart piece by piece, that it can't be kipshuta, you can't read these psukim simply. It's kfira and minas to learn the Torah without mefarshim. If you don't, you know, it's learning like learning shir hashirim. You ever read an English translation of shir hashirim? It's like you can't. You're not allowed to. It'll be also to read a literal translation of shir hashirim. What?
Rashi.
Rashi makes it beautiful. Rashi speaks about every pasuk. It doesn't mean what you think it means literally, but Rashi gives us a whole crash course in Jewish history. Pasuk by pasuk, how every pasuk is talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim, and then it's talking about Klal Yisrael building the Mishkan, and Chet Ha'egel, and then Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni, the whole Shir Hashirim. You can't read it literally. The Torah cannot be read literally, period. You could read it, but like you have to look in the Mefarshim to understand what is going on. And this is exactly borne out in this parsha of Yehuda and Tamar. So Chazal tell us what happened. A malach that's memuna on taiva, there's a certain malach that is, his job is to make people have tremendous yearnings for things. So he came and he pushed Yehuda on top of Tamar, and that's how she conceived. V'al kalponim nishar kan pegam al mishpah. But be that as it may, there still is a stain on the familial ancestry of Yehuda and the Bnei Peretz and how they were born. It wasn't really the we understand the Maisa as Chazal understood. But the Maisa, at the end of the day, the children, the Bnei Peretz that came from, that came out of Tamar, who would ultimately be the ancestors of Mashiach, there was a Davar Meguna here. There was something that was very ugly about the way the whole thing went down. Ulasakein Zehapagam, says Rav Schwab, in order to correct this wrong, this stain, this blemish, Shalchan Naomi Esrus Labayaz B'em Salayla Lishkav Etzlei Ulagalas Margalaisav. Naomi knew this whole story, Baruch HaKadosh. She knew that this was needed to be corrected before Melech HaMashiach could come out of this union. So what she did was she sends Naomi to, she sends Rus to Baez in the middle of the night to sleep next to him, to reveal his legs, his feet. Menasa Besar Karashi Liftais. Kedivir Chazal. Chazal say that he was very tempted. He was a God Ladar, but he was tempted. Aval Kavash Es Yitzray. But he managed to be kaivish as Yetzahara. He says, I'm not going to come on her without chuppah v'kiddushin. So, and that's what he did. He waited. He said, let's wait until morning. Shichviyad biker, go to sleep now. We'll wake up tomorrow. We'll get this whole business done. We'll be able to have normal. We're not going to do it. B'tayrus z'nos chas v'shalom. But we're going to do it properly. Chuppah v'kiddushin. The fact that he did not succumb to his Yetzihara, the fact that he didn't give in, although he very much, it seems, wanted to, so that was able to correct that terrible blight on his Yichus, and that whole mice of Yehuda and Tamar was corrected. The Oz Hayuruyim. Sometimes in life you need to correct certain things in order to make a certain thing happen. And this is an example. There was something that needed fixing. It needed to be corrected. And it was a historic failing, obviously with the Chazal, but still it was nira, like Rav Schwab says. It was nira, like it was Maguna, and so that had to be publicly corrected. And the way that that was done was by being able to be Kaivish or Yetzihara. And this is a tremendous Musar Haskel for all of us, because what we learn from this is that the best Eitzah, I'm not saying that it's an easy Eitzah, but it's an Eitzah. And a lot of times we need Eitzahs. Sometimes, you know, we have a taiva to do something. Let's say to have a lack of Shmir Seinayim. All right? So, and we have a very big taiva. We want to watch something, you know, on our laptop. And our roommates, you know, he's already left. It's Thursday night. He went home already for Shabbos. So we have an opportunity. And we have a laptop, and we have yichud with our laptop, and everything, and I have a tremendous daiva. So what do you do? And you're about to turn it on, you're about to look at it, and you don't want to, because you know that if you do it, you're going to feel disgusting the next morning, you're not going to want to wake up, you're going to want to miss leaning, miss davening, and miss learning, and when are you going to feel like a bump? So you really don't want to do it, but you do want to do it. You know, you forget at night how you're going to feel like the next morning. That's part of the Yetzirah's brilliance, is that he makes you think, no, it's okay, you're going to feel good about it. This is a good idea. What do you mean it's a good idea? But every time I've done it in the past, I feel like, God, but no, this time's going to be different. It's mutilach mutilach, it's fine. So how do you stop it? You're mamish like this, like you're mamish Yosef at Tzaddik, or you're Bayez in this case, and you have a taiva, and what do you do? So, you know, you don't want to do this, but so if you say, all right, I'm not going to do it, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. If you say, I'm not going to do it, you're not Yesva Tzaddik. Lamaisa, you're not Yesva Tzaddik. So what do you do? So I think what we learn from Bayaz, and I've written about this, and I have a sefer on Rus, I think I write it there, is that what you see from Bayaz, the brilliance of Bayaz is, he had this taiva. What did he say? He didn't say, no, usher, get out of here. If he had done that, then we don't know how the story would end. What he did was, he says, we're going to do it, we're going to be together, but we have to wait. Let's wait. Tomorrow, you know, wait for the sun to rise again, we'll be a little bit more level-headed, we'll get a minion together, a chuppah v'kedushin, whether or not that would have happened or not, you know, it could have happened, could have not, it did happen. But the point is that what Bayaz did was so brilliant, and I think the Balei Musar say to do this, that if you just say no to the Yetzara doesn't take no for an answer. That's not an answer. So maybe you'll you know, but what you could do is you say, listen, right now it's 12 o'clock at night. Let's go to sleep a little bit. You know, in 2 hours or so, we'll wake up. Or tomorrow, we'll do it. If you push off the Yetzara a little bit, but in 2 hours from now, maybe in 20 minutes from now, the taiva will pass. When you have a taiva, when you're in the throes of taiva, it's very hard to do it. The Yetzara is not going to let you go. But you could say, Yetzara, I'm down. But let's do it a little soon. First, let's maybe watch a little football first. Or let's listen to a good shmooze from the Mashgiach first. Or something like that. And, you know, and then after the shmooze is over, then we'll listen. Then we'll watch. And what happens is, if you're able to just buy yourself time, then very often, that's the way to defeat the Yetzara. Saying no doesn't work. Saying, we'll do it. Yeah, I'm conceding. We're going to do it, just not now. Once you are able to get out of that you know, phase of like, I'm going crazy, and now you're a little bit more level-headed, okay, now an hour is gone, and now you're not going to want to do it anymore. In half an hour, you might not want to do it anymore. But it's just at that time, sometimes you get a rush to us and you feel like it's good. So don't say, I'm not going to. Say, I'll do it, but just like later. Push it off. And when Bayaz did that, that was a lesson for Klal Yisrael, I believe. That he didn't say, get out, you know, this is wrong, out. He said, okay, Sheikh Viad Biker, stay here until the morning. The morning will come, the sun will rise, and then we'll deal with everything. We'll take care of everything then. And it worked out beautifully. Melech Mashiach came out from that. Sometimes when we have a tremendous taiva, and we are able to break the taiva, that could bring Melech Mashiach. I've seen recently in certain svarim that there is an inyan that if you ever have a nisayan, and you're aim of a nisayan, let's say that story that I just told you, that guy in the dorm room Thursday night, and he feels, and then you're able to win the Yetzahara, and you wake up the next morning, everything was kasher v'yashir, and you weren't nifshal at all. First of all, it's a tremendous feeling. You know, you feel like you mamish, like you're the king of the universe, because you are. But more than that, if you're ever in a makam of nisayan, it might be the nisayan I spoke about, or it might be a nisayan that you're walking down the street and somebody's walking towards you, and you really want to look at that person, and you turn away, and you're aim of a nisayan, at that point, you have the ability to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything that you want. It's a tremendous, it's like a ne'ilah for you. It's a tremendous Eis Ratzon. Did you hear this recently? I forgot where I saw this recently, but it's something that Gedolei Yisrael speak about this, that when a person, I'm trying to remember as I'm speaking where I saw it, but I definitely have found like very solid Maror Mekaymes, I just can't think of them right now, but there is this is Badek Umenusa, that if you have a taiva, and you're Aymer Ben Yisrael, you don't do it, whether it's Shmir Seinayim, whether it's Shmir Sabris, whether it's going a certain place, whether it's something, whatever it is, you could ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that time for anything that you want, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give it. Because the madrega that a person is on when they're able to vanquish their Yetzara is something that, you know, that Malachim can't fathom. It's not a normal thing. The Yetzara, people think the Yetzara is something you could flick away with a straw. And they don't understand the power of the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is the same Yetzirah that fought against Yaakov Avinu, that wrestled with Yaakov Avinu, that wrestled with Yosef HaTzadik. This isn't a... He knows this. It's the same Yetzirah. This Yetzirah has been born, you know, from Bryas Olam. He knows exactly what to do. Very powerful. He has an arsenal of anything and everything that he wants at his disposal. And we're like very weak. We're bus of Adam. We have a Yetzirah. We have Taivas. We have you know, and so the Yetzirah has a very specific plan to attack us, and we could either just give in. But if you're able to go against the teva of giving in, and being strong and being miskaber, first of all, You're every time you do that, you're mamish like catapulting yourself to heavens, like, you know, to ilamis that we can't fathom. You mamish steig, like what it would take you maybe, you know, 10 years of learning shas. You can maybe do that in one of these meisim. You could like steig so much because you stopped the Yetzirah in his tracks. That's something that's unbelievable, and it's a tremendous shas hakaisher. It's a window of opportunity. To ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you need to do well in finals, ask, you need a shidduch, ask, you need parnasa, ask. That's the moment to ask. Because that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves that moment that you're able to show him that I'm strong, I'm doing this for you, I could give in easily, but instead of giving in, I'm going to fight the good fight for you, Rabbeinu Shalom. I want to be meiser nefesh for you, and I'm not going to give in by imayin. At that moment, the whole world is yours. And it's a very important thing to know that, because that'll help you also. It's one more, you know, bullet in your gun. That I don't wanna lose the opportunity. I have the opportunity right now to ask for anything that I want. I'm gonna be miskaber over the Yetzirah and I'm not gonna give in. But so we have two tricks tonight. First of all, it's not a trick, but first of all to know the bracha that is waiting you if you're able to miskaber. And also the technique of being miskaber is not just say, you know, absolutely not. That very rarely works because you're in the zone. You're going to just say, all right, I want to do it anyway. But if you say, I'm going to do it, but shich v'yad b'iker, like let's give it a little time. All of a sudden, when Nates comes up, when Alais comes up, and you see the sun out, for sure, you know, it's over. It's fine. You won. And I think maybe that's the pshat when it says that there is a vikuach, that wrestling match between Yaakov and the Sarashal Esav, it says that Vayavik Ish Imai Adalais HaBaik Adalais HaShachar. Right, that once the morning comes up, once the night has like this mystique about it that you think like there's a cover of darkness, you can do whatever you want, but like if you could just make it to the morning, Shichviad Baiker, let's wait till the morning. At the morning, okay, I'm saying Maidani, I'm going to daven, it's fine, Baruch Hashem. But at night, you have to be very careful. So the first thing that you have to do is try to always have a roommate. Because if you have a roommate, you know, and that's in the room, well, actually, it starts a little bit earlier. The first thing is you shouldn't be taking your laptop or your smartphone back to the dorm, because it's a very dangerous thing. Even if there are roommates and apartment mates or whatever, it's still, you can get around that, we know. But, you know, but if you have to, you have work, and you have the Yetzirah is brilliant. You put an alarm clock in the phone now. You don't even need an alarm clock, so you have to have you obviously need a smartphone by your bed, right? But so you shouldn't be bringing it back to the dorm. If you bring it back to the dorm, you have to make sure that you don't have a yichud, an isser yichud with a laptop. To have a roommate with you at all times. There was guys in yeshiva years ago. A room that was they're very good guys. Today they're all, you know, they're all professionals, but they're all very chashuva professionals, you know, beruchnis and begashmias. But this room wasn't like the frumma guy, you know, the frumta guys in yeshiva, the regular guys. But they were so concerned about Shmir Seinayim that they each had a laptop, and in order for them to access their laptop, they had, I don't know how they did this, but you had to put, each guy in the room had to enter his own password in order to allow that third roommate to access his computer. Which is crazy, you know, like it's mom, okay, you know, like your mom is like, all right, your turn, okay, now I can, but like, so and then, you know, there's all types of web chaver and there's filters and whatever. But the Yetzara, we know, is very strong. So this is a very important yisayid from that we learned from Bayaz, that there was a pagam, as Rav Schwab said, in the mishpacha, and this had to be righted. And so Melech HaMashiach came about dafko when he was able to be Aymed Ben Yisayin. And we also can bring Mashiach if we are able to be strong and be Aymed Ben Yisayin and not give in. And the way to not give in is to outsmart the Yetzer and say, I'll do it, a Shechviyad Biker. Wait, tomorrow morning will be fine, I'm going to sleep a little bit. Before you know it, this is an Eitzah that's Baduk and Menusa. And it's an ace rotzen. When you get out of that ruch shtos that you need to do a taiva, just open up your siddur and daven like crazy, because that's exactly the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the best. We give HaKadosh Baruch Hu more nachas ruch than we could ever imagine. As good as it feels for us when we're able to be Ayin V'Nisayin, the Rabbein Shalom feels much better than we do even. But you have to. It's an avoda. It's not an easy avoda at all, but that doesn't pater us. It's a mechayev, and it's a challenge. It's the challenge of our life. It's definitely the nisayin of our generation. With the access to technology, with everything on it, and you know, it's crazy, but this is it. The Shlach HaKadosh writes that, you know, we think sometimes that, well, our generation is going to bring Mashiach. We're ani ma'amim shemivas Mashiach. Okay, let me understand. In the generation of the Rashba, Mashiach didn't come. The Rambam didn't bring Mashiach. The Ktzais didn't bring this. The Rav Kivega didn't bring Mashiach. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Aaron called it. But I'm going to bring Mashiach. Like, hello. Like, no, it's not happening. If they couldn't bring Mashiach, how can I bring Mashiach? And you know what the Shlach HaKadosh said? The Shlach HaKadosh lived hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And he said that in his time, that one mitzvah that we do today, he said, is worth many great mitzvahs that the earlier generations did. Because their times there was very little resistance of the Yetzer Hara. And we live in times that have tremendous resistance to the Yetzer Hara. When did the Shlach live? Shlach HaKadosh lived in the 1500s, 14 or 1500s, these were, right, what? 1600s, 1600s. So the Shlach HaKadosh lived in the 1600s. I don't think there was internet back then, was there? Was internet back then? There was no cable TV, there was no WhatsApp, there was no statuses, no Facebook, no Instagram, no Snapchat, no... So what were they doing all day? I don't know what they were doing. What were they busy with all day? There were, you know, there are no magazines, there's no books, there's no... Are there books, whatever, but I mean, what were they doing? L'man Hashem. So, but he was saying that we get much more schar for one mitzvah than the Rambam's, than 100 mitzvahs the Rambam did. If that was true in the 1600s with the Shlach, you know, we don't even have to talk about how much truer it is in our generation, with whatever we have at our fingertips and our phones and our laptops and our homes and our dining room walls and our living room walls, like that. You know, it's ridiculous. We're living mamish, whatever it used to be. When I was growing up, they didn't have, there was horse and buggies. I'm sorry. They had very little in terms of, you couldn't access all. You could go to Psir and there, go to a newsstand. And they had typists, but it was like very hard to do. But, you know, the Atlas just like, I forget, I'm not going to go. But like today, there's no excuse not to have a taiva. Like, you have taivas, day and night. In every single pocket, you have a different taiva. So, imagine what one... We think I'm not really doing some mitzvah. My tefillin were a little... I think they were off-center this morning. Shvach Hashem probably like, gave me an X for that one. Do you understand what we're doing? Do you understand the nace that it is that there are yeshiva bachrim all together in the world in 2023, and that we're able to sit and learn a little bit, and we daven a little bit, and we learn, we have some shiurim together, and we eat kosher, and we put on tefillin, and to have shmir seinayim on top of all that, it's off the charts. So that could bring Mashiach a lot faster than the Shlach and the Rambam Kiveger combined. because if they would see what we're doing, they would be they would give us like a standing up. We think that they look at us like bums, like they're embarrassed to be, you know, to be related to us. But I don't think that's the truth. I think if they were around today, they would say, "Kol hakavod," like, you know, I don't know how you guys do it, but like keep doing it because you're doing great things. We have to stop looking at ourselves like we're failures and we're letting God down every minute. We have to start looking at ourselves like we're amazing. We're doing amazing things. We're from and we're Shomer Torah Mitzvos and we're in yeshiva and we're learning. We're chazaring. We're good. We're amazing. This it's an amazing generation that we have. You have a CMHS and there's people Adiria Atira. There's a big kinnis I think next week. You know, tens and tens of thousands of people coming together just to celebrate the people that are learning and supporting Torah. It's unbelievable. Our generation is unbelievable. We're not a bad generation. We're the best generation. And so whenever we have this type of thing, when we're I'm a b'nisayin, we have a tremendous nisayin to do something, we stop ourselves, v'yimayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us anything that we want. Just open up your tilm, or just, you don't have to open a tilm, just say Hashem, by the way, I just did that, here's what I need, here's my afikamen present, okay? I want A, B, and C, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give it to you. And that's a very critical yisayid. And thank you very, very much for coming. Shalom be zeicha to Mekabel, the Torah, ba'avah.